Has your teenager ever made you so angry that you said things you immediately regretted? Or perhaps your toddler's public meltdown left you screaming in a parking lot, wondering who the real child was in that moment? Here's an uncomfortable truth. Every time we lose our cool with our kids, we're essentially handing them a remote control to our emotions and begging them to press all the buttons. This isn't just bad parenting, it's a complete surrender of the very authority we're trying to maintain. The revolutionary insight at the heart of this approach flips conventional wisdom entirely. The best thing you can do for your children isn't to focus more intensely on them, but to focus more intentionally on yourself. We've been taught that good parenting means constant vigilance over our children's behavior, choices, and emotions. We believe we're responsible for making them happy, successful, and well-adjusted. But this creates an impossible burden where we feel responsible for our children rather than to them. This distinction changes everything. Being responsible for someone creates codependency and anxiety. Being responsible to them creates healthy boundaries and mutual respect. Our emotional reactivity becomes our worst enemy in relationships. When we react from anxiety, we regress to immature functioning, often behaving more childishly than our children. Picture this: your 2-year-old throws a fork on the restaurant floor. You pick it up. He throws it again, watching your reaction with scientific curiosity. The third time, he grins. Suddenly, you're yelling, grabbing his arm, storming out while other diners stare. Who's actually out of control? The toddler is testing boundaries. You've lost emotional regulation. This happens when children's behavior threatens our self-image as good parents. When you scream at your children, you're really communicating, "Calm me down." This anxiety transfer creates defensive reactions and undermines your influence. You've handed over your emotional remote control, making children feel responsible for managing your emotions rather than learning to manage their own. True parental authority comes from maintaining composure under pressure. When your teenager misses curfew, instead of unleashing worry and anger, try, "I'm too upset to discuss this now. We'll talk about consequences tomorrow when I'm calmer." This demonstrates real authority, the ability to regulate yourself even when provoked. To be truly in charge means inspiring children to motivate themselves, which requires parents to first bring themselves under control. What if every parenting challenge isn't a problem to solve, but an invitation to personal growth? When your toddler tests boundaries or your teenager challenges rules, these moments call us to develop ourselves. One father found his 2-year-old dangerously climbing a staircase banister. Instead of reacting with panic, he paused, calmed himself, and carefully rescued his son, discovering inner resources he didn't know he possessed. Maturity means enduring discomfort now for future rewards. When we avoid difficult conversations or inconsistently enforce boundaries, we sacrifice long-term relationship health for short-term peace. The fundamental rule: whenever we give in to anxious reactivity, we create the very outcomes we're trying to avoid. Instead of asking, "How do I fix my child's behavior?" ask, "What is this situation inviting me to learn?" Every person has their own kingdom, a space where their choices determine what happens. Without adequate room to develop their sense of self, children can only live borrowed lives, leaving them with rebellion or passive compliance. Creating appropriate space means respecting physical boundaries, emotions, and developing autonomy, knocking before entering their rooms, acknowledging their emotions without fixing them, and giving age-appropriate control over possessions and decisions. When children test boundaries, they're checking if parents can be trusted to remain stable. Provocations like, "I'm bored," or "I hate you," feel like invitations to battle, but children's inner adult actually wants parents to stay calm. The judo principle applies: use their momentum rather than direct resistance. Traditional parenting escalates homework battles. "You have to, because I said so." Judo parenting responds differently: "I understand you don't want to do homework. That's your choice. The natural consequence will be whatever grade you receive." This shifts from being responsible for children to being responsible to them, asking questions that help them discover their own motivations. Labels stick far beyond their reasonable lifespan and shape behavior for decades. When one boy was 4, his grandmother remarked he'd make a living with his mind while his brother would make one with his hands. This casual comment shaped their identities, educational choices, and career paths for life. Even positive labels like the pretty one or hardworking become burdensome expectations that create invisible boundaries children unconsciously inhabit. Children thrive with clear boundaries and structure, not unlimited freedom. Parents must set the table with calm consistency, ensuring everyone understands their roles, choices, and consequences. The most powerful teaching tool is allowing natural consequences to unfold. When 14-year-old Julia refused to get ready for school, her mother, Marianne, calmly announced she'd leave in 10 minutes regardless. Julia stayed home, receiving zeros and being barred from the homecoming dance. Despite Julia's wailing and her brother's pleas, Marianne held firm, positioning herself as a supportive guide through a painful but educational process. Anxious parents often prevent natural consequences by intervening with schools or completing homework. Ironically, protecting children from pain denies them effective education, learning from mistakes. To break the labeling trap, replace absolute terms like always and never with can be. Persistently expect children's best character to emerge, focusing on potential rather than fixed traits. Every revolution begins with one sentence. I'm not sure what anyone else is going to do, but this is what I'm going to do. Rosa Parks wasn't planning revolution when she boarded that bus. When a white man needed a seat, 3 African Americans stood up as required, but Parks calmly refused. She simply said, "Then you go ahead and do what you need to do, but I'm not moving." This singular act sparked a 381-day bus boycott and the civil rights movement. Every family has established patterns, dances that become familiar even when dysfunctional. When parents begin their revolution, children instinctively try to pull them back into the old dance. The key is staying the course. Focus on yourself, remain calm, and continue growing. One father, Steve, faced bedtime struggles with his daughter, Sarah. When she resisted cleaning up toys, he remained calm rather than reactive, clearly explaining and implementing consequences while staying present. Their evening ended with Sarah inviting her father closer. "Daddy, would you lay with me?" demonstrating how staying calm during challenging moments transforms relationships. What we truly desire is authentic connection and freely chosen love, not manipulated compliance. Fight for children's right to change at any moment, describing specific behaviors rather than applying broad character labels. Children don't belong to parents. They belong to themselves. Revolutionary parenting begins with one shift: letting go of controlling your child's reactions while taking responsibility for your own. You are responsible to your children for your behavior, not for theirs. This reframing, focusing on what you'll do regardless of what they do, is the beginning of transformation. When you stop screaming and start leading through calm self-mastery, you model what it means to be a grounded human being. Saying, "I am responsible to my child for how I behave, regardless of how they behave," isn't selfish, it's foundational. When children see parents practicing self-regulation, they learn through observation rather than lecture. Operating from principles rather than fears means trusting that children often rise to expectations in surprising ways. Creating space doesn't mean abandoning guidance. Children need freedom within boundaries that provide security. When you constantly invade a teenager's privacy, you teach them to hide things better. What we truly desire is authentic connection, not manipulated compliance, but genuine relationship that emerges when we stop controlling and start trusting growth.